Good evening. Very pleased to be here tonight, and very pleased that we can again have this opportunity to preach the gospel, the good news of God. Now, I've changed my mind. I was going to speak about an infirm man, a man who had lain by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. But as we were singing the hymns, that man had an individual experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He met him in his need, his deep need, and the Lord met him and saved him and gave him the strength to go on. Well, I met the Lord just the same, in my need, deep need, and he met me and saved me, and it's through his power and his strength that I can go on. I gave my testimony in the hall, not here, it was upstairs, quite a few years ago. I was just going out with my wife at the time, and I'd come with her father, and I gave my testimony many years back. So I'd like to begin by reading in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, a few verses in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow, not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This portion of scripture is very dear to my heart. I started going to the Sunday school when I was about 11, the Sunday school at the Gospel Hall. I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. My mum and dad aren't saved. My mum and dad don't go to the meeting. But you know, for as long as I can remember, I knew there had to be a God. It was only common sense that there was a God. This didn't just happen. This world that we lived in didn't happen by accident. There wasn't a big bang and suddenly this world appeared. You look at the trees and see the wonderful shape. You look at the sky and you see the birds flying across it. If you're fascinated by the sea, you can stand and you watch the mighty ocean as it would roll, and you see the mighty waves, and God's hand created everything. And as the stars light up the sky, God put them each in their position. And God created the world. Now, even as a little boy, before I knew God's word, and before I knew the Bible, I knew there had to be a God who did this, who made everything. And in school, I was lucky to hear about God. Because when I went to school way long ago in the dark ages, we said a prayer every morning. Now it might have been repetition, but we did it. The Lord's Prayer, every morning. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. As a 5-year-old at school, we learned. And we had teachers who would tell us stories from the Bible. But there was a janitor at the school I went to, and he was a Christian. He believed in God. He trusted the Lord Jesus as his Saviour, and he read his Bible. And he had an old battered Bible in his room, and it was always open. It was never closed, but he was always reading something. And his door was always open. And he was not a soft touch. If he thought you were skiving, or you should be doing something else, or you were misbehaving, he would tell you so. And he would be quite stern about it. But you know, if you needed help, he was the man to go to. And if you needed a wee bit of advice, he was the man to go to. And if you had a skint knee, he was the man to go to. And he always had an open door, and he had a wee box of tracts. And they were free if you would read them. Anybody could take them, but only if you would read them. Through meeting that man, David Walker, I started going to Sunday school in the Gospel Hall. I'd been to different Sunday schools at different times. And I'd heard about the Bible and stories of David and Goliath, of that mighty giant brought down low by a young shepherd boy. I'd read of the mighty King David, of his son Solomon, of how Moses had parted the Red Sea and taken the people across on dry land. But when I started going to Sunday school at the Bible and the Gospel Hall, it was different. There was a difference in that Sunday school. And you know what that difference was? They knew the God they were talking about. These weren't dry stories. This wasn't just a book. They trusted it. They knew it to be true. And it made a difference. And they cared for the boys and girls. And I heard the gospel properly for the first time. And that meant I heard that I was a sinner. There's an old-fashioned word. I was a sinner. I was 11. How bad could I have been? I've seen some 11-year-olds, and I know that can be pretty bad. But not with my mum and dad. I was brought up to know better, to be respectful, or else. Not to misbehave, or else. And there was quite strict discipline. And I'll give God thanks that my mum and dad brought me up that way. And that when I started going to Sunday school, they made sure I kept going to Sunday school, even in the summer, when the sun was shining, and it would be easy to be out playing with my friends. They made sure I had a washed face and sent to Sunday school. And I give God thanks for that. And I heard that I was a sinner, not because I did bad things, but I was a sinner because in my very nature, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's in God's word, it's not me saying it. All have sinned, you, me and everybody else. all have sinned. Now, I accepted that, but I wasn't saved. And time went on and I heard more of God's word. There was a God who created everything. Remember, he placed the stars. He made the mighty oceans and the creatures that swim in it. The whale and the fish, the shark, all the mighty fish, the birds that fly in the air, the animals that roam the land. God created each and every one in its place and in its time. 6 days he took, and on the seventh he rested. Now that mighty God had a son, and that son came to earth to die for me, to save me from my sin. Amazing. I got a little bit older and I went to the high school at the age of 12. That's when I started going to the Bible class. And I learned more of God's word in the Bible class. More of God's word. Of what it meant to be a sinner. Of how it separated you from God. Your sins have separated you. Your iniquities have separated you from God. That there's a mighty God and that there's no way to bridge it. That there's nothing we can do to bring ourselves back to God. You know, that made me just like that infirm man lying at the pool. I couldn't help myself. I was helpless. But I heard about this. And I knew it was true. And you know what else I heard? I heard that although Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless, holy life, died on Calvary's tree as a victor, not a victim. When he died, he paid the penalty for sin. But he was a victor. He finished the work. He dismissed the spirit. He died, and on the third day he rose again. And that there was an empty cross and an empty tomb, and that he was sitting at God's right hand. But that wasn't the end, because he made a promise in John chapter 14. He made a promise to his disciples, those who trusted him, those who believed in him. If I go, I will come again, that where I am, there ye might be also. A place prepared in heaven. In my Father's house, many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And he made that promise. And we read in 1 Thessalonians about when he will come. And how he will take all who are waiting. Now there are many from the day when he was here, many from Calvary's day until now, many have died, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. All go together, and we're going to meet the Lord. If you read in Corinthians, you can read about the resurrection. For we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The dead and the living, that mortal shall put on immortality, that corrupt and corruption, and we'll all meet the Lord with that glorious body. And they were starting to talk about how wonderful heaven would be. Now, I was going to the gospel meeting then. I'd been going to the Sunday school, I started going to the Bible class, and one night I was asked to go to the gospel meeting. A young man named Muir Brannan was getting baptised, and he said, would you come to the gospel meeting? I heard about baptism in the Bible class, how it was believing and showing everybody else what you believed inside, just showing them outwardly what had already happened inside, that you were dead to sin, and that when you went down under the water you were buried. And it, when you came up out of the water, it was to walk in a newness of life, just showing to everybody else that you were taking your side with Jesus. And he wanted us to come. So me and my brother, we went to the gospel meeting that night. And we seen him being baptized, saying that he was saved and that he was living for the Lord. And that, although I'd heard about it, and although I'd heard it taught, that touched my heart. And then we were sitting in the Bible class one day, and Douglas Spence started speaking on this portion, and he said, "Today is the last Bible class. The Lord Jesus is coming. All the Christians are going to heaven. Next week the door won't be open. Next week the car park won't be full. Next week, where will you be? Let me tell you, we understood what he meant. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And you know something, we don't know when. But we read here that he is coming. If you read in Hebrews, you read this, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." And you know the last promise in your Bible is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Surely I come quickly." Let me put that another way. "Truly, I'm coming soon." We don't know when he's coming, but he's coming soon. Three times over in the last chapter of the Bible, the Lord Jesus says, "I come quickly." He's coming soon. Well, I was part of the Bible class, and the Bible class went out for supper most Sunday nights. 3rd of February 1980, I was starting a gospel meeting, much like this, with my friends, my brother and my friends, and we sat. I can't tell you who spoke, and I can't tell you what they spoke on, but I left the hall the same way I came in. And you know what that meant? I wasn't saved. I knew I needed to be saved. I knew the Lord Jesus was coming, and that if he came, I was being left. But I left the hall the same way I came in. And we went round the corner, and we went to Wal Robertson's, and there was quite a big Bible class, and quite a crowd there, and we had a good time. We would have a cup of tea, but we had a good time. We would sing choruses, we would play games, and we had a good time. But a couple of the older ones started to have a discussion, and they spoke about John 14. "In my Father's house are many mansions." They spoke about how wonderful heaven was going to be. No sickness. No sadness. No crying. No pain, no dying. And they said, "You'll notice that there's none of this, none of that, and none of the other." You know why that is? We've not got words to describe how wonderful it can be. Our language just can't express just how wonderful heaven is going to be. And they were talking about how he was coming soon. Of how he was coming himself. He wasn't going to send an angel to come and get us. He was coming himself. The Lord himself shall return with a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They were talking about how wonderful it was going to be, and how soon it was going to happen. I wasn't part of that discussion, but I can remember it. And you know something, somebody asked a question, and they might have been reading my mind if they, when they asked it. They said, "What about the people that are left? What about the boys and girls that have went to Sunday school? Bible class? The men and women who have gone to the gospel meeting? What about them? They'll be left. But they'll know that the Bible's true. They'll realise that Jesus has come and that the Bible is true. And if they believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for them in Calvary, they'll be saved. It says so in the Bible. Somebody turned the page to 2 Thessalonians. Listen to the words they read. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what they said was, anybody that's been to the Bible class, the Sunday school, the gospel meeting, anybody who's ever had a chance now to believe the gospel, when the Lord Jesus comes, they won't have a second chance. God will blind their mind. They'll believe the lie because they didn't believe the truth. That's me they were talking about. A little while after that, three young men were in a small kitchen doing the dishes. You dishes. Me, Alistair and David. Alistair was washing, I was drying, David was putting them away. Passing it on. Alistair gave me a dish, I would dry it and pass it on. Alistair turned and said, Wally, are you saved? I didn't lie about that. I hated to ask. I hated anybody asking me. You know why? Because I knew I wasn't saved. But I didn't lie about it. So when he asked me, I said no. So he hands me another dish and he says, Wally, do you want to be saved? Now, I answered that question just like that. But you know what went through my mind before I answered it? I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord Jesus is coming back, maybe tonight. And if he comes back, I'm going to be left for judgment. Eternal judgment. Eternal separation from God. Do I want to be saved? Yes, I do. Yes, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. So I said yes. Alistair was a couple of years younger than me. And he was a wee bit worried. He thought, we need some help. But he had enough wisdom to know this. The crowd will hold you back. The fear of man bringeth a snare. That's in God's word. But whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. And he says, we'll walk round to Mr. Matthews. It's just round the corner. He'll help us. So there we are, three young men, about 10 o'clock at night, putting on our jacket to walk round the corner. Where are you going? Oh, we're just going to have a wee word with Mr. Matthews. You sure you're not up to no good? Try to stay out a bit later than you should be? No, we just need to go and have a word with Mr. Matthews. Even the best of crowds will hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back. Not your brothers, your sisters, your friends. Not your boss, not your workmates. Nobody. Don't let them hold you back. And we walked round, and I didn't know he had visitors in, but he did. Mr. Matthew had a house full of visitors as well. And he answered the door, and there's three young men. I was the oldest at the time and I was not quite 16. What do you want? He thought we were up to no good as well. What do you want? Alistair said, William needs to talk to you. What's the matter? I need to get saved. Now, do you know what he said to me? He didn't say, come back tomorrow. He didn't say, I'll speak to you next week. He said, come away in, we'll just go up the stairs. His living room's full of visitors. And he didn't give one thought about his visitors. He said, come away in, we'll just go up the stairs. Away from the crowd. Away from the distractions. And he took me up the stairs, along with Alistair and David. And he sat me down with my Bible, and he read some verses. Verses I could quote from Sunday school. Maybe you could quote them as well. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he stopped and he said, William, do you believe it? And I nodded and said, I did. He said, well, you're saved. And I shook my head. I said, I'm not. I believed it because I heard it in Sunday school, I heard it in Bible class, I heard it in the gospel meeting, and I believed it. But I knew I wasn't saved. There had to be more. It couldn't be that easy. And you know, salvation is the easiest and the hardest thing to get. So he turned some pages and he read some verses for me. Let me tell you the verses he read. 2 Timothy 3, just a part of the verse, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Just that part of the verse, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I'd heard it in the Bible class, and he asked me, do you know what that means? So very simply I told him what that meant. That it meant that different men, at different times, in different places, and even with different languages, wrote this Bible that God gave them the words to write. And he said, that's correct. Do you believe that? I said, I did. Okay, so this Bible is God's word. Do you believe it? Yes. He then turned the page to Titus, chapter 1, and he read a small part of a verse in that, that God who cannot lie hath promised. And he stopped and he says, William, do you believe that? That God can't lie? Yes, I believe it. So this is God's word, and God can't lie. I believe it. He then turned the pages again. Ephesians. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says, William, you can't work to get into heaven. There is nothing you can do that will get you into heaven. Going to Bible class is good. Going to the gospel meeting is good. Going to the Sunday school is good. But it won't get you into heaven. Living a good life won't get you into heaven. Being the best you can be won't get you into heaven. It's not of works. And he also turned the verse and he read in Peter, 1 Peter, that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. And he says, William, we can't buy our way into heaven. He also read in Psalm 49 about those who trusted in their wealth. It won't get you into heaven. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, said, and what shall it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul. We can't buy our way into heaven, and we can't work our way into heaven. Then he went back and he read John 3:16. Listen to how he read it. For God so loved Polyanus that he gave his only begotten son, that if Polyanus should believe in him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. And on the 3rd of February, at the back of 10, on that Sunday night, I realised that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree for me. That night, it didn't matter about anybody else. He died for me. He paid the penalty for my sin. And that night, I was ready to go to heaven. And you know, I'm still ready. Nothing good about me. Nothing good about me, but he's kept me. We are kept by the power of God. And you know, if you will trust him, if you will take him as your saviour, he will keep you. But think about this and think very carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, when I was saved on the 3rd of February 1980, you know how long ago that was? 26 years. Nearly 27 years. Now, that might seem like a long time, but just imagine. The Lord Jesus said, I am coming back soon. It might have been that night. Just imagine. If he was coming back that soon, it could be tonight. He is coming back. I'm ready to go to heaven, to a place prepared in heaven for me. And he wants you there as well. He loves you that much. And you know how he proved it? He came from heaven. And he died on Calvary. Calvary's tree for you. We would read in Romans that God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this is true, he's proved his love for us. The Lord Jesus has died so that we can live. But the choice is now yours. I had to make that choice way back in 1980. But you've got to make that choice tonight, because you know, next week the hall door might not be open. Tomorrow, when the sun comes up, all the Christians might be in heaven. Will you be there? I hope you will. We really want to see you there. But you've got to make the decision for yourself, because nobody else can do it for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now we'll just close with a word of prayer. Dear God and Father, we come unto thee again and we give thee thanks. We thank thee, our God and Father, for this opportunity when the gospel can be preached. And we thank thee that we have a story to tell, how the Lord met and saved me. But O our God and Father, the reason why we come tonight is thy great love, that it would go forth to each and every one, that thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we come tonight and we would ask that if there be any in the hall who know not thy Son as their own Saviour, that they might accept him this night, while there is time. Thy word has warned us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Lord has promised, surely I come quickly. So we would ask, that while there is time, that they would accept thy Son, take him as their own Saviour, then there will be rejoicing, not only here in our leaven, but also in heaven with the angels, over some sinner repenting. Oh, we would ask for this now, asking for thy blessing, in the precious name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.